Hi, Bam Bam. Hi, BP. Good morning, Talani. Welcome. Or good evening from wherever you're at. Today is Wednesday, March 27th. I am your host, Dina Jo, coming to you live from the DJ Pebbles studio located in the Mile High City, Colorado. Welcome to the program. So grateful to have you with us today. If you're listening to this later on the download, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. Hit that follow button so you can join us live sometime. I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:45 a.m. That's the standard time. I'm the kind of people I'm podding. Thank you for your continued love, likes, shares, and downloads. I'd like to go over today. Let's start with some weather. I'm out here in Denver. It's sunny. I'm looking out. The time change, and it's so dark. So today in Denver, it's currently 28, mostly cloudy. Sunny skies, a high of 47. For my family out there in Welland, Ontario, Canada, 42 and mostly cloudy. It's like partly sunny skies, a high of 52. For BP, the Podbean podcast patron, follow him on Facebook. He is in Elba City, Pennsylvania. A mostly cloudy, sunny skies, a high of 61. And then for Michael, it's raining. Is it raining? It didn't look like it was raining when you sent me that picture, but it says you're supposed to have rain all day. Who knows if that's true or not? It says take your umbrella. So, all right, you guys all know, I like to start the day with sprinkling. All right, well, it says take your umbrella. I need to find you a kitty cat umbrella. Like one, I know they have kids ones with like little ears and stuff. A pink one with kitty ears. That would be funny. All right, so I like to start the day with the word and quote of the day, spreading knowledge in a powerful way and value to the world. So we're going to talk about procrastinating on procrastination. If you do that, I do that sometimes. Delay or postpone action, putting off doing something. And the quote that I have is, procrastination is one of the most common and deadliest diseases, and it takes a toll on success, and happiness is heavy. And that is Mr. Wayne Gretzky who said that quote. So to procrastinate or procrastination. So let's say you have a plan. You know exactly the steps to take to start a life changing. You want to lose weight. You want to evolve. You want to make things better. And yet, you can't seem to get yourself moving. You simply cannot stop procrastinating. Putting off doing things we do not enjoy is common, despite potentially negative consequences. No matter how organized or committed you are at times, chances are you have found yourself wasting away hours of your day, either watching TV, scrolling on social media, when you should have been spending that time on the items you are putting off. Okay, and a lot of times we do it when, I know, like at work, and you put off something that you know is going to be due at a certain time, and then you wait till the last minute, and then you just spend all that time pushing to do it, and then you don't do it, you know, as good as you should have done it when you should have done it a long time ago. So no matter how organized or committed you are, chances are that you found, oh, I already said that, sorry. Procrastination doesn't do anyone a favor. They can create problems beginning in your early years when we first start delaying until adulthood. Putting things off you eventually do anyway ends up taking more energy, time, and doesn't stop you from thinking or worrying about them either. So, see, you put it off for whatever reason, you end up worrying about it, then you rush to catch up and finish, or feel bad that you never started. A good place to start is to acknowledge that you are procrastinating in the first place. first place. Once you recognize this behavior in yourself, you can figure out what's causing you to procrastinate and change it. Before you throw in the towel, hear me out. Regardless of your goal you're trying to achieve, you have the power to stop procrastinating. Procrastination can be unlearned. No one is born with perfect motivation, which separates successful individuals from those who never do anything about their dreams, is that the former now has to get moving and let their momentum guide them to where they want to go. You want to go to the gym, but you postpone joining one because something happens so you never start, and your goal of losing weight never gets checked off your list. You want to get new clients to stay at work, but you can't find the time to make those cold call perspectives, so your business never grows and it stays a dream forever. So weight loss or getting fit, for example, is almost never easy. And for many of us, we procrastinate. How many times have you caught yourself thinking something like this? It's been a long day. I'll try to squeeze in a workout tomorrow. Or, I've been meaning to go to the doctors for that. I'll make an appointment soon. And please don't do that. If you're the only one who knows your body, we're dealing with Lewis's dad. You know, he put something off for the longest time, and now it's not good. And so you're the only one who knows your body. And if you feel like there's something wrong, don't put it off. Go to the doctors. Take care of it. Because you're loved and you need your brain. Please like you. I know I need to eat better. I will start Monday so I can start the week off right, and so on and so on and so on. We all say that to ourselves. If you see procrastination is getting in your way of reaching your health goals or goals in general, consider this. First, you need to make sure you have a to-do list. And don't make it overwhelming. I remember telling you guys about SMART goals, specific, measurable, obtainable, realistic, and time-based. Give yourself a break. Don't try to do everything at once. You're gonna fail. You might be able to do it for a little bit, but you're gonna be overwhelmed and you're gonna fail. So make specific, measurable, attainable, realistic. Focus on your why. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Why? Focus on your why. Reward yourself for positive behavior. When you do something good, break down your tasks. You know, like I said, don't have a humongous to-do list because you're just going to get overwhelmed. And keep a journal. Keep track of the things you're doing and how you're doing it, or a schedule. Doesn't mean that you have to go by it exactly, but at least you have something to kind of guide you, so to say. So procrastination can be a difficult habit to break, but by setting SMART goals, you can tackle procrastination and become more productive. It may take time and effort to adjust your behavior, but it's well worth it. And remember to be kind and understanding to yourself as you progress towards your goals. At the end of the day, it's all about taking one step at a time and never giving up. So I believe in you. You got this. I know you do. I know you do. I know you three do. And whoever else is listening. So yeah, that's what we got for you today. So we'll move on. That was a lot of talking. The joke of the day. All right, guys, you ready? What kind of music do elves listen to? Elves, you know, those little people with pointed ears. Wap music. Wap music, get it? Wap. Hi, crazy lady. How you doing? So there's your one. Here's your other one. Here's your second dad joke of the day. How can you tell if a pig is hot? It's bacon. Get it? I know. It's bacon. Alrighty. I can't get this paper to turn over. Oh my goodness, why won't it? All right, well, I know I want to tell you guys about the movie or documentary that we're going to be watching tomorrow night. I hope we're still on. Tomorrow It's called The Rainbow, a documentary about the historic Rainbow Bar in Hollywood Sunset Strip. And it's free on all different kinds of platforms, but we're going to be watching it off of YouTube so that we can all be in sync at the same time. And then on Friday, I'll be playing music from that documentary, or at least the artists that appear in it. I have a whole list of artists that that show up in that movie's documentary. So we'll be doing that tomorrow at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, connecting through movies and the soundtrack. And we all know about BP's Podbean Podcast Nation. Give him a follow, please. Help our friend out. And now let's get into, Easter countdown. Gosh, dang, it's only 3 days, 16 hours, 3 minutes, and 32 seconds to go. I am not ready at all. Not at all. I'm not ready at all for Easter. What are you doing, BP? If I might ask, I just thought, because I know one of the last holidays, didn't you go to one of the restaurants and help prepare food? I know you did that recently. I don't remember if it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, or both, but I remember you doing that. Yeah, the celebration. Yes, Mike, it is. And not just like Christmas is one of the days that I think everybody goes to church. They'll break out their clothes and go to church and stuff. So, it was Thanksgiving. Okay. So, yeah, I have no idea what I'm going to be making, but yeah, I need to get my butt to church for sure. All right. So we're going to get into food. Food, what's trending in food? Hi, Yancy. How are you? Oh, BP, where is that one? You had a picture of churros that you had, I think it was yesterday. I will be just me and I will make a half ham. I wish we were closer so all the just me's could all get together. You know what I mean? And not just at Thanksgiving, but all the time. I wish we were closer so that I could have you over. But anyway, back to the churros. I love me some churros and Oreo. Hi, Peter. I tried looking for this, but I could not find them. But Oreo has a new churro flavor that's coming out. Well, it says churro flavored cream. So I'm wondering if it's just the, you know, that golden cookie and then the middle tastes like churros. I wish it was all sugary, yummy goodness. You know, like you pick it up and you get all those little crumbs on your fingers. That is the only time I like sugar. I love churros. Oh my gosh, they're so good. They're so good. So yeah, I have to try to find one. It was from Kohler's Brew House. Yum. And it had dipping sauce, right? Usually they come with like they'll have a little chocolate sauce or caramel sauce on the side. Oh my gosh, they're so good. I'd like to learn how to make them, but it just seems like it'd be a pain in the butt. I'd rather just go and buy it. You know what I mean? It seems like it'd be too much of a pain. But anyway, so look for those. I have been looking, and it's always at Walmart that they have everything, all these new items. Ice cream, I've learned if it's new, it's on the end cap. I've been looking for this churro one, Oreos. I still haven't found it, but there is also the pizza burger was there from there too. Oh, yum. You have some really cool places that seem close to you that you could go and eat. I think that's pretty neat. When I went back to my mom's memorial in California, my friend Tammy and Steve, they took me and they had like different little streets in these little towns that, gosh, were never even really there when I grew up, that had really cool little restaurants and stuff. We went to an ice cream place. It was really cool. Made licorice ice cream. It tasted okay. It was weird though. All right, back to food. Pepperidge Farm is releasing a new lemon blueberry swirl bread. I think this sounds really good. You know how they have the cinnamon one with the raisins in it? This one is lemon with blueberries in the middle. I think that sounds yummy. What else did they say? Oh yeah, they're just saying it's like the cinnamon raisin French toast. Brown sugar cinnamon, there's three different ones, cinnamon raisin, French toast, and brown sugar cinnamon, and now this lemon blueberry. It looks good. I think it looks good. More new one. Oh, this one is because for the eclipse, the solar eclipse that's coming out, Snapple has a new drink, and it is the forthcoming. Let's see what the name of it is. It's made with juice concentrates, which include orange, pear, carrot, plus this. I was looking at this, and when I saw it the first time, I keep seeing, you know, when you're reading something and you read something that's totally different than what's there. I keep reading areola fruit, but it's not areola. It's ericola. Oh, here, let me copy and paste it. But I kept seeing areola fruit extract. I'm like, that's not what it says. Let's see. This is what it says. Oh, paste. Arcerola? Total eclipse of my heart has worn running time. The eclipse will run 4 minutes. Ooh, yeah, and Yahtzee, all those places that supposedly, what is it? There's like a cross, like it, if you look at the map of where it's supposed to go, like hit, it's like hitting all these towns called, was it Nebula? Oh, Mike, you would know, it's in the Bible. What's that town in the Bible? Nebula, something with an N, I thought, but there's like a couple of different ones throughout the United States, and it's supposed to cross through those or something. Oklahoma has activated the National Guard for that day. Mm-hmm. Now, no, it's not. Mike, did you hear me say it started with an N? Not a J, an N. Nineveh, that's it. Nineveh, that's the one. Yahtzee, are you guys supposed to get, I thought we were only getting like 60% coverage. Is it more over where I know, like over in New York and all those places, it's supposed to be darker, and I don't know what is it supposed to do? Is it supposed to knock out stuff? Hi, Radio Parla, so good to see you. It passes just the east here mostly. It's hitting Arkansas more. Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing all the, you know, you're reading all these things. Oh, stock up on food, stock up on water, stock up on gas, have this, have that, you know, because if it's supposed to mess with a whole bunch of different things, I don't know. But why hasn't this happened in the past when this has happened? You know what I mean? It's happened in the past. Did we not just hear about it? Or was I just hiding under a rock? Did things go bad? Did the grocery stores not get food? Are they just saying, and then they're telling people, and so, you know, go get money out of the bank and do this. I don't know. I guess you can always be prepared, right? There's nothing wrong with being a little bit prepared. Have some pasta and sauce and good stuff in your, that's a whole nother show. I have to have somebody on that I know that knows all that stuff. All right. So anyway, the Snapple drink. Oh, I didn't even finish telling you about that. We told you, the areola fruit and other natural fruits derive. Let's see. Oh, and a star fruit nectarines, the orange beverage flaunts an aesthetic that evokes the color of the sun. The 16-ounce drink is vegan and perfect for gluten-free eaters and drinkers, making it a safe choice that those with dietary restrictions and preferences. Well, I look at that, how they got all that in there. but what the hell is the name of the, what is the name of it? It appears there's time to enjoy during the April solar eclipse. Oh, Snapple's Elements line. Maybe that's what it's called. Snapple's Elements line. Solar Speakeasy. Snapple's Solar Speakeasy in New York. That's what they're calling it. Maybe that's what we're going to have. You got to look for. I don't know. It doesn't say this is the name of it. It just says it's celebrating the solar eclipse. Yeah, it just says Snapple Element Sun. So there you go. Get yourself some star fruit orange nectarine flavored juice drink. I don't know. It reminded me of that powdered Tang that we used to get when we were little kids, when we all used to drink Tang. Oh, terrible. I'll be sleeping. Yeah, I haven't even looked. I know. Yancy, that's what I was saying. Did you come in? Well, that's what I keep seeing is Areola, not RC, whatever. RC Cola? What is that? Air Sorola? When I'm reading it, I'm like, Areola? And I went back, I'm like, nope, that's not what it says, Dina. Go get your glasses on. Anyway, get yourself some of that. I know I'm a weirdo, but I've never really been into Little Debbie stuff, but she has a new, two new snacks coming out. There's a birthday cake cream pie that's white with little sprinkles on the top. And then, you know, those donut sticks, I think those are absolutely the only ones that I've ever had. And damn, they give you a headache because it's like a big log of sugar. But they're good. They have an apple cinnamon donut sticks. That kind of sounds good if it actually had apples in it, but you can find those too, I'm sure, at Walmart. They'll be out in April. April, you can find those too. And then let's see what else we have. Oh, potato chips. And then we got the winner of the Cadbury bunny, and it's not a bunny. So Lay's potato chip has, and I want to try all, if I can find these, I'll try these because these don't sound terrible at all. They might taste weird, but who knows? There's four different ones. There's the West Coast, and that's a crispy taco flavor. There's an East Coast, and that's BLT sandwich flavor. There's a Midwest, which is fried pickles with ranch flavor. And then there's just a kettle cooked lime cracked pepper, which I thought they already have, but I guess not. But I would totally try the taco BLT and fried pickle ones. They don't sound horrible. Sound like they'd go good with the sandwich or something. It's so funny to have a puppy, a full grown 1 year old. Oh yeah, Peter got his service dog, Athena. And is she full German Shepherd? No, I thought she was like German Shepherd or Collie or something like that. She's really cute. She doesn't look like she's only a year old. She looks older in pictures because she's a bigger dog, I guess, but she's really cute. Good. I'm so happy that you got her. I know I miss my little, I mean, I have a dog, Billy, but he doesn't help with my pain. My little dog that I had, Boo, is the one that really helps me with pain. All right. So the Cadbury, remember every year they do the bunny search and I talked about it and you could send your pictures in. Well, the winner is Louie the raccoon, and he's so cute. He is, let's see. Where is his story? Louie is a 2-year-old Florida raccoon who was rescued in 2021. He no longer is able to live in the wild, so instead, he lives an advocate life, fundraising for a wildlife rescue and rehabilitation center. As the winner of the Cadbury Bunny tryout contest, Louie lands $7,000 in prize money and will be featured in the 2025 Cadbury commercial. His TV debut, says his owner, Jamie Arslan. So everybody voted and they got him. Cute little Louie the raccoon. Raccoons are cute, but man, they're dirty little creatures. They're little dirty things. Hi, William. Welcome. William. Might be a troll. We'll see. All right. Well, I'm just going to get, that's funny because you've heard of the Trash Pandas in Alabama. I think is it minor league baseball? The Trash Pandas. That's so funny because we went to the farmer's market here Parker, and Aaron was wearing a Trash Pandas t-shirt, and there was somebody there that was, what the heck were they selling? That's Southern, I should say. Gosh darn it, I can't think of it. It's really weird, and I didn't want to try it. I have to look it up now. It was something bottled, pickled. I can't remember what the heck it was. Oh, no. It was weird peanuts. It was like peanuts and water or something. Peanuts and liquid. I don't remember. Something with peanuts. And they saw him and they knew who he was. They're like, oh, the Trash Pandas, because they were from Alabama. Yeah, it's a pretty new team, but there hopefully will be close to them when we move out there. All right, guys, I'm going to start early on music just because I have to go and check on Lewis's dad. So I want to get over there a little bit earlier. So he says she's a full German Shepherd and probably, Aussie Border. I'm Aussie Border Collie. Oh, okay. All right, Peter. We'll get to see her once. So awesome. All right, we're going to get into the music. And I decided to do 60s. Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys. Let's see. That's all right. I'll just do the music. Forget it. I'm a little concerned about him and trying to get things ready. So I did have something else, but let me see if this music will come up for me. Oh, it looks like it's going to, yay. All right. It's all working. So this is 60s music. I think we can all get into that for, okay. Thank you. I will. The first song that I have, it just came. I think you could hear that. Let's see. Is Big Brother Holding Company A Piece of My Heart? I've seen this before, Bam Bam. This guy is, and you might have sent it to me, honestly. He's out in the middle of the woods, and he's playing. You can hear him playing. And he's surrounded by raccoons. And they just keep coming. They just keep coming and coming out of the woods. And they're sitting there listening to him. I don't know if he put food out there too, because it looks like they're eating. But there's just hundreds of these raccoons. It says the Pied Piper of Raccoons. I'll have to put that. Eddie Lawrence is his name. That's funny. All right. So yes, Janis Joplin, Piece of My Heart, Big Brother and the Holding Company. A little bit about that song. A Piece of My Heart is a romantic soul love song originally recorded by Irma Franklin in 1967. The song came to greater mainstream attention when Big Brother and the Holding Company, featuring Janis Joplin as lead vocals, covered the song in 1968, had much bigger hit with it. Yeah, I had no idea that it was done by anybody, but, you know, I thought the Big Brother and the Holding Company were the first ones who did it, but no. In 2004, the Big Brother and the Holding Company's version was ranked number 353 on the Rolling Stones list of 500 greatest songs of all time. The song is also included among the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. So here it is, Big Brother and the Holding Company. It's Janis Joplin, Piece of My Heart. I think so too.
Never, 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 never
So until her death in 1970, Peace of My Heart was Janis Joplin's biggest chart success and best known song. It went to number one in 1971. A Piece of My Heart remains most associated with Joplin and continues to get airplay today. Piece of My Heart, Big Brother and Holding Company off the album Cheap Tricks, 1968. Yeah, it charted 12 in the US and it charted better in Canada. It charted 3 in Canada. Much better. Kind of shocking. To be honest with you, it charted better after she died. It came back onto the charts. So, all right. So the next song I have is like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan. An iconic Bob Dylan song, Like a Rolling Stone, is the story of a debutante who became a loner when she falls out of high society. It's a crushing blow, but there's an upside. When you got nothing to lose. Another advantage to being on your own. When you're invincible, you have no secrets to reveal. The title is not reference to the Rolling Stones. It is a taken from the proverb, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Dylan got the idea from the 1949 Hank Williams song, Lost Highway, which contains the line, I'm a rolling stone all alone and lost. So here he is, Mr. Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, BP. Thank you, Radio Parlas. Appreciate you guys. Can you used to have love? Thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you, Radio Parlas. Based the lyrics on a short story he had written. What made it into a song is only a small part of what was in the story. It was rumored that he was written about a one-time debutante, Eddie Sedgwick, who was part of the artist Andy Warhol's crowd. She was the subject of an emotional tug of war between Dylan's camp and Warhol's camp. That is Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan, off the album Highway 61 Revisited in 1965. It charted number 2 both in the U.S. and in Canada. So, all right, we're going to move on to the Byrds, Mr. Tambourine Man. Let's see. Bob Dylan wrote Mr. Tambourine Man, which was originally released on his 5th album. Bob Dylan, why did it do that twice? Bringing It All Back Home was the title of Bob Dylan's album that was released March 22nd, 1965. His version wasn't released as a single, but the Byrds released their cover on April 12, 1965. It was a transatlantic hit, topping the charts in both the U.S. and the U.K. It's the only song Dylan ever wrote that went to number 1 in America. Dylan claims that despite the popular belief, this song is not about drugs. Drugs were never that big a thing with me, he said. But that being said, in an interview, Dylan wrote this on a road trip he took with some friends from New York to San Francisco. They smoked a lot of marijuana along the way, replenishing their stash at post offices where they had mailed pot, which isn't that against the law? Along the way, he started writing it after they got to Mardi Gras in New Orleans and partied there the night of February 11th, 1964. All right, who knows? Anyway, here is the Byrds with Mr. Tambourine Man. I think it would have been a kind of a cool era to music wise growing up in the 60s, you know. So this album was also influential in popularizing the musical subgenre known as folk rock by melding intellectual lyrics contexts with electric guitars and rock backbeats. The term folk rock was first coined by the American News and Press to describe the Byrds' sound in 1965, around the same time that Mr. Tambourine album was released. And I don't have this charting anywhere, so jingle jangle. We're going to move on from Mr. Tambourine Man to For What It's Worth, Buffalo Springfield. Written by Buffalo Springfield guitarist Stephen Stills, this song was not about anti-war gatherings, but rather youth gatherings protesting anti-loitering laws and the closing of a West Hollywood nightclub called Pandora's Box. Stephen Stills tells the story of the song's origin. I came down to the sunset from a place called on Topanga. It's like Topanga Canyon. It's a canyon in California. There was a funeral for a bar, one of our favorite spots from high school to UCLA kids to go and dance and listen to music. Officials decided to call out the official riot police because there were 3,000 kids sort of standing out in the streets. There was no looting. There was no nothing. It was peaceful. And everybody was hanging out for the closing of this bar. A whole company of black and white LAPDs in full battle gear, shields and helmets, and they were lined up across the street. And I was like, whoa, why are they doing this, man? There's no reason for it, dude. I went back to Topanga, and the other songs turned out for what it's worth. So here is Buffalo Springfield for What It's Worth. Or how many war movies this song is played in.
There's something happening here.
What it is
ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. It's time to stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds.
Again, so much resistance from behind.
Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Radio Paradise. Thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you, BP.
A thousand people in the street. Singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. There are noise tracks deep into your life, it will creep.
I love this song. So this song helped launch the band to stardom, and it remained one of the era's most enduring protest songs. But Stephen Stills, who he didn't like that. He had very different feelings that many might expect. He said, we didn't want to do any other song like For What It's Worth. We didn't want to be a protest group. That's really a cop-out, and I hate that. To sit there and say, I don't like this and I don't like that is just stupid. He said, alrighty. It would peak at number 7 on the U.S. Ooh, don't play that. On the U.S. and number 5 in Canada. Started playing the Monkees. The Monkees are up next. I loved the Monkees, I think, because I loved watching their show. The song is I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote this, but intended it for Paul Revere and the Raiders. The song is about a girl who walks all over a guy, but now he's decided he's not going to take it anymore, telling her, I am not your stepping stone. He's wise to the fact that she's just using him to boost her status. So the Sex Pistols covered this song. So we're going to hear a little bit from the Monkees and the Sex Pistols. They covered it in 1979 off the album The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. This version, which was also released as a single, features a snarling lead vocal from its ill-fated bass player, Sid Vicious. So first, let's listen to the Monkees' Stepping Stone.
In society, you're using all the tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines. The clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scenes. I said, I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. Just stepping stones, not just stepping stones.
So
Mickey Dolenz, the drummer of the Monkees, was the one who sang lead, so it doesn't sounds a little different than the other Monkees songs. And I'm pretty sure he's on the list of people that are on the Rainbow documentary. So anyway, he was the only Monkee to perform on this song. In the early years, the Monkee songs were usually recorded by top session musicians. The Monkees had, of course, that popular TV show. Let's see. Their version reached number 20 on the U.S. Billboard, but not anything in Canada. So I'm not just stepping stone. The Monkees, More of the Monkees is the album that it's on. All right, so let's give a listen to the Sex Pistols version of I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. I remember both. It's just funny to hear them singing the song. Total Sex Pistols for sure. I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. That's funny. I know I remember it, but just hearing it again is just funny to hear his voice singing that. All right, we're going to move on to the Kinks. You Really Got Me. Kinks frontman Ray Davies wrote the lyrics to this rambunctious rocker after watching girls dancing in a club. It's not the most articulate lyrics, but that's the point. The guy is in the song is so infatuated, all he can do is mutter about the girl who's really got him. I wonder what kind of club he was in. In 2015, the Rolling Stones interview, I just remembered this one girl dancing. Sometimes you're just so overwhelmed by the presence of another person and you can't put words to it. All right, well, let's listen. Here's the Kinks, You Really Got Me. Thank you, Bam Bam, BP, and Radio Parlous. Appreciate you guys. So this was also covered by Van Halen, and that's, I mean, I remember this one, but the Van Halen one is the one I remember growing up to. Let's see. In 1978, the cover of the song was the first single for Van Halen, who played a lot of Kinks song. If you ever read about Van Halen, when they were playing in clubs, they would always play Kinks songs. And yeah, so that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. Here it is, Van Halen, You Really Got Me. You've got me so I don't know where I'm from. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I get you back now. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know where I'm going. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
eyes. Don't ever let me be. I only wanna be by your side.
Please, don't ever let me be. I only
wanna be by your side. So I don't know what I'm doing. Oh
yeah. This is such a great song. Their remake. I just couldn't cut off Eddie Van Halen until right then. All right, so the next song we have is House of the Rising Sun by The Animals. The House of the Rising Sun is a traditional folk song, sometimes called Rising Sun Blues. It tells of a person's life gone wrong in the city of New Orleans. I've never been there, but I can imagine. All this thing I've seen, I can see that something's gone wrong there. Many versions also urge a sibling or parents and children to avoid the same fate. The most successful commercial version, recorded in 1964 by the British rock band The Animals, was number one hit in the UK singles chart and the US and in Canada. As a traditional folk song recorded by an electric rock band, it has been described as the first folk rock hit. So here they are, The Animals, House of the Rising Sun. So there's two theories behind this song. And the first one is that it's a brothel in New Orleans. The House of the Rising Sun was named after its occupant, Madame Marion LaSalle Levant, which means rising sun in French. It was opened for business in 1862. occupation by Union troops until 1874, when it was closed due to complaints by neighbors. It was located at, 826 through 830 St. Louis Street was the address. The second story is that it was about women's prison in New Orleans called the New Orleans Parish Women's Prison, which had an entrance gate adorned with a rising sun artwork. This could explain the lyrics, "Ball and Chain." So that is House of the Rising Sun, The Animals, off the album The Animals, 1964. It would chart number one in both the U.S. and in Canada. All right, we're going to move on to Wild Thing by the Trogs. And why? I was like, that looks like a picture of Van Morrison. Why is it saying Wild Things in the Trogs? It is like, oh, it just changed. It was like the cover of, I'm looking at the playlist on Amazon, and it was actually the album cover of Morrison. And then it was showing it as Wild Things. I have no idea what's going on with that thing. Anyway, the Trogs are losing it. The Wild Thing is a song written by American songwriter Chip Taylor and popularized by the English band The Trogs. It was originally recorded and released by the American rock band Wild Ones in 1965, but it did not chart. Owing to distribution dispute, the Trogs single was available on two competing labels, Acto Records and Fontana Records, because both pressings were taken from the same master recording. Billboard combined the sale of the both releases, making it one single to simultaneously reach number one for two companies. Okay, interesting. Here is the Trogs with Wild Thing. I was gonna say, hopefully he doesn't play Van Morrison. Thank you, Radio Perlas. Thank you, Bam Bam. Mike, thank you. So the style of this song became known as caveman rock. The Trogs is short for, holy moly, Trog Lodge. It means cave dweller. Trog Lodge Tea. I'm going to put it in the chat. I have never heard of this word before. Okay. Which helped bolster their image. Over the next few years, the Trogs moved away from this Neanderthal sound and had a big hit in 68 with the much evolved Love Is All Around. Wild Thing, the Trogs, off of the album Wild Things, 1966. It would chart number one in the U.S. and number two in Canada. Let me put this word in here. Trog Lodge. It looks like Lodge Tea. Trog Lodge Tea? I don't know. You guys can try it. All right, the next song I have is Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. CCR. This is an anti-establishment song of defiance and blue-collar pride, both anti-Washington and against the Vietnam War. Until 2023, Fogerty didn't own the publishing rights to this song. he lost them along with all the other songs he wrote for CCR in his contract with Fantasy Records, which the band signed when they were struggling. Fantasy's boss at the time, Saul Zantedz, controlled the rights and used the songs as he pleased, as long as they weren't performed by any member of CCR. Fogerty seethed over how Fortunate Son shelled out and misrepresented, but he had no choice. He expressed his frustration on his solo track, Vance Can't Dance, was the name of the song. Anyway, here is Fortunate Son, CCR. And then we'll learn a little bit more about that. Was finally able to purchase his catalog back in 2023 when he was 77 years old. By then, Fantasy had been acquired by Concord Music. This has been covered by U2, Bruce Springsteen, Kid Rock, Dropkick Murphys, that would be interesting to hear, Settler Kenny, Corrosion of Conformity, Minutemen, Uncle Tubular, Bob Seger, Circle Jerks, Jolin and Turner, Bonnie Foot Charm. Who the heck is that? Death Cab for Cutie, Undead, Raccoon, and 38 Special. His Fortunate Son, Creedence Clearwater Revival, off the album Willie and the Poor Boys, 1970. It would chart number 3 in the U.S. and number 37 in Canada. Pretty crazy kind of what these record companies did to artists when they were struggling, you know, sign their life away and he can't get it back until he's 77. That's insane. All right, we're going to move on to the song Sunshine of Your Love by Cream. Gosh, I'm Cream. Merry best of Cream. The lyrics were written by Peter Brown, a beat poet who was friends with Ginger Baker and Jack Bruce. Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce wrote the music. Peter Brown wrote the opening line after being up all night working with Bruce and watching the sun come up. Jack Bruce's bass line carries the song. Creams played this at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on January 12, 1993, when they were reunited for their induction. To that point, the only other time the band got together was at Eric Clapton's wedding in 1979. Here is Cream with Sunshine of Your Love.
It's getting near dawn. When lights close our tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my gold surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon. I'll be with you, my I've been waiting so long. I've been where I'm going. And the sunshine of your love. I'm with you, my love. The light shining through on you. Yes, I'm with you, my love. It's the morning, just we two. I'll stay with you, darling, now. I'll stay with you till my seas are dried up.
I know, I saw that. What the heck is going on with that? I thought that that was fixed. Dang it. That's weird that it would just keep booting you out. That's not cool. That's not cool at all. All right. Oh, I forgot to say that that was their biggest hit. I just cut them off. That was their biggest hit. It was their first to do better in the U.S. than it was in the U.K. as they started to catch on in America. In the U.S., this was their first charted in February of 1968. It went to number 36. In August, after the album came out, it re-entered the chart and went to number 3. So it charted number 3 in both the U.S. and in Canada. That was Cream, Sunshine of Your Love. And what is the name of the album? Disraeli Gears, 1967. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know me with pronouncing stuff. Holy cow. All right, so I Fought the Law is the next song, and I am going to play two versions of it. I think I have two. Yeah, I have the Dead Kennedys, but I'm going to do Bobby Fuller 4 first. Let's see. It was written by Sonny Curtis, who is a member of the Crickets. That is Buddy Holly's group. The Crickets recorded it shortly after Buddy Holly's death in 1959. Fuller was a popular singer slash guitarist from El Paso, Texas. And his first recordings of this song was in 1964, where it was a regional hit in New Mexico and West Texas. The hit version was recorded in 1965 at his label Delphi Records, using the same group as musicians. This song is about a guy who goes to jail after a robbery spree. The phrase, "I fought the law," caught on and has remained in American lexicon ever since. Fuller was found dead. This is really weird. Fuller was found dead in the front seat of his mother's car shortly after "I Fought the Law" came out, before it became a national hit. His death was ruled a suicide, but there were signs of foul play in the investigation was tainted, leaving the circumstances of his death a mystery and rumors to run rampant. Rick Stone, who was a roadie for the Bobby Fuller Four and a good friend with the band, said in an interview, "My mom, Mary Stone, wrote music with Bobby at our home in El Paso, Texas. Bobby did not have gas in his mouth when he was found in his car, but he did die of asphyxiation," he said. Interesting, interesting little story there. Here is Bobby Fuller for "I Fought the Law." It's crazy. I wonder what really, what ended up happening. If nothing, if it's just a... Oh, that's the dead. Well, here's the Dead Kennedys. I'll play Bobby Fuller for in a minute. I'm like, that's not it. All right, well, that's the Dead Kennedys version of "I Fought the Law." Now let's listen to Bobby Fuller 4. That was, I pushed the wrong button. Here it is.
I
because I had none. I thought the law had the law won. I thought the law had the law won.
Okay, Peter, we'll talk to you in a little bit. So, a little bit more on the story about Bobby Fuller, which is kind of weird. It says, okay, we know his body was found in a vacant lot in his mother's car. About 4 years later, Janis Joplin would walk out of her apartment and purchase pure bad heroin on the street corner of the same vacant lot, then overdosed not more than 250 feet away from where Bobby died. They were both born in the same general area in southeast Texas, 4 months apart. Both traveled to Hollywood the same year and both left the same time. They never knew each other as far as this person. No, so Bobby Fuller 4, I Fought the Law, off the album The Bobby Fuller 4, 1965. Kind of a weird coincidence, I would say. Weird, weird, weird. All right, next is Louie Louie, the King's Men. The album Louie Louie, the King's Men in Person. Louie Louie is a rhythm and blues song written and composed by American musician Richard Perry. It is best known for its 1963 hit by the King's Men and has become a standard in, oops, so I'm going to look real quick. Standard in pop and rock. The song is based on the tune El Loco Cha-Cha. El Loco Cha-Cha, and popularized by the band leader Rene Tuez. And is an example of the Afro-Cuban influence and American pop culture. Let me see if this will open up. Louie Louie tells in a simple verse, chorus form, the first person story of a Jamaican sailor returning to the island to see his lover. The FBI launched an extensive investigation into this song after Indiana Governor Matthew Walsh declared it pornographic in 1964 and asked that the Indiana Broadcasters Association ban it. The investigation spanned offices in several states with technicians listening to the song at different speeds, trying to discern any obscene lyrics. And of course, none were found. Okay. My ding, ding, dinging was my special. That was the hotline. And I was getting something. It's by the Big Dirt Band, who also did a version of I Fought the Law. So before I do the Louie Louie, we're going to listen to this.
Who's checking out? The Big Dirty Band. That's Alex Lifeson.
What, the dick tree from Rush?
You buy that for me, Ricky.
Have to buy it. Just lose money for that green and black I hooked him up with. Rick, stop around, put it back. Then put it back.
Listen, boss, we got any money. You can't have Ricky. He said.
So it really is the guy from, well, playing the guitar is the guy from Rush. Are they all from Rush except for the girl? I don't know. You'll have to tell me. Okay. Super group. The song is made. Okay. But it is the guy from Rush, right? Getty. Oh, okay.
Oh,
I like it too. The Big Dirty Man. I'll have to look them up. Because she kind of sounds Joan Jetty a little bit. You know, she kind of sounds like that. So that is the Big Dirty Band, I Fought the Law. I like that. Thank you for sending that to me because I have never heard it before. Oh, we lost Radio Burlesque. All right, let's see. Louie Louie, that's who I was going to play. So I already talked about him, so now we're going to play Louie Louie, the Kingsman. For Louie Louie, the raccoon, the Cadbury raccoon. So this song cost a mere $50 to record. The Kingsmen went to his studio after the radio station executive in Portland saw them perform it live and suggested they record it. Louie Louie, the Kingsmen, off the album Louie Louie, the Kingsmen in Person, 1963. It didn't really chart anywhere when it came out, so... All right, I'm going to do one more. Let's see. I think I'm going to do Brown Eyed Girl. Now, let's see, Brown Eyed Girl. There's the album. Well, that matches. That's weird. Okay, Brown Eyed Girl. It always reminds me of Hanny now because her dad sent it to her. Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison. This was originally called Brown Skinned Girl, and it was about an interracial relationship. Some stations banned it for that line, making love in the green grass. This was Morrison's first release as a solo artist. This was the hit during the Summer of Love when hippie culture boomed in the U.S. and the song provided a fitting soundtrack. Morrison, however, wanted nothing to do with that scene and was horrified when the album was released with a psychedelic-looking cover. Peaking at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100, the song spent 16 weeks on the chart. So here's Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl.
Skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts to thump and you, a brown eyed girl. You, my brown eyed girl. What happened? The Tuesday is so slow. Transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow wall, slipping and sliding, all along the waterfall with you, my fine girl.
We used to sing. La 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 la.
All right, that is Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison, off the album Blowing Your Mind, 1967. I like 60s music. Even though it doesn't want to turn off. There we go. All right, guys, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you guys so, so very much. I think you know that, but I really do. I appreciate you more than you know. So I'm going to leave you guys like I always leave you. And then we'll be back tomorrow watching the documentary. And then Friday with Aaron will be here with some sports. So let's do this. I can't believe it did it on the first try. It usually takes me 2 or 3 times before it'll push and let me do the ah. Anyway, be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. BP, get some rest. He had a long night last night. And everybody else, yeah, Mike, you work nights too. Get some rest. Bam, bam. I know you have your hands full, so you're not going to be able to rest for a little bit. But have a good day, you guys. Be safe out there. The world's crazy. I love you all. Talk to you later. See you later. Now, why is it not playing the music? Friggin' Podbean, man. Damn. Anyway, well, maybe it'll turn on. We'll see. Did it turn on?
One, two, three.